The Walk the Mile podcast is produced on Gadigal land. I acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which Skegg Stallinghurst stands, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay my respects to elders past and present. May our reconciliation be an ongoing process of love and compassion. Hello everyone, I'm Gary Lee Lindsay, school chaplain at Skegg Stallinghurst, and you're listening to Walk the Mile, a podcast that opens up conversations that we need to have. Thanks for listening, everybody. Good to have you here. We're actually doing a series at the moment because we're in lockdown and we're touching on the things that affect us or impact us while we're in lockdown. And today we have the head of the primary school, Helen Dempsey. How are you, Helen?
I'm well, thanks. Gary, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How long have you been principal of the primary school?
Well, how long does it feel, or how long it actually is, Gary? This is my second year as the head of the primary school, and obviously took over last year, and had approximately, I think, maybe a month and a half before the pandemic really took hold. So it feels like 105 years, and I think I have a few lines and wrinkles and many grey hairs to show for it.
Oh, you've done a good job, yeah. And it wasn't easy to come in at that time.
No, it wasn't.
And how long have you been at Skeggs for?
This is my 14th year, Gary.
Wow, yeah, 14 years. And before that, you were working with IT in the primary school?
Yeah. So I came here as the ICT coordinator, and which was a really great job because I got to work across the school from kindergarten all the way through to year six, which meant that I got to develop really lovely relationships with all of the girls. Mm-hmm. And all of the staff, which I think served me really well when I transitioned into this role, because it meant that I knew everybody really well, not only in the primary school but across the whole school too. Mm-hmm. And we always talk about relationships sitting at the heart of everything that we do here at Skeggs. But I think, for me, when I moved into this role, I got to see that coming really into effect beautifully for me, because I did have those relationships and I knew everybody. And so, I think that was one thing that really served me well, that I did know everybody, and I had those connections, and I was able to transition those when I did move into this role.
And you knew the culture of the school too, which made a difference.
Yeah, definitely.
And part of that culture is the connectedness, I guess.
Yeah, but I think it's really interesting, Gary, that you can be in a school or you can be in any kind of workplace or any establishment for a long period of time, like 14 years, and you can think you know a school really well, but when you move into a different role and you look at it from a different perspective or a different viewpoint, that there is still so much to learn about it. And
right.
I think that's one thing that I have loved, but that's one thing that has taken me aback, moving into this position, that there, you can think you know so much about a school, but that there is still so much to learn about the people and about the school and the organisation. And I think, that's one thing that I love, is that you can still keep growing and you can still keep learning even when you've been in a place for as long as, I've been here.
Mm, good on you. What's been the most surprising thing? You've just said that, you come into a new role and you're learning all this new stuff. What's been the most surprising thing, do you think?
I think I always knew how complex people and organisations were. But I think stepping into this role, I think I've really come to know just how true that is.
Right.
And I think that's been even more the case, over the past 18 months, whilst we've lived through this pandemic, the stories that people have told about the impact of this this time on everybody's life has been so varied and so different. And so I think, you know, the complexity of that for every person, for every girl in the school, and for every single family, you know, has been and have continued to have to evolve, you know, my perception of, you know, how I think about that as a leader, and how I deal with the staff, and how I deal with the girls, and how I respond to that, you know, as a leader of the primary school.
So would you say that you... maybe people that you've known for a while during this pandemic over the last couple of years and just moving into your role, that you've got to know them in a different way? Have you learned more about them?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I've learned more about the teachers. I think, you know, I've been staggered by, you know, how resilient the teachers and the girls have been in the face of, you know, some quite difficult times, you know, yeah. Even just these past few weeks when we've been thrown into, you know, at home learning again, the resilience that the girls and the teachers have demonstrated and the agility, you know, that's a buzzword of, you know, 2020 last year, but again, you know, 2021 this year, to adapt and to be able to throw themselves into, you know, this new way of learning again, but with a smile on their face, and to be able to, you know, just say, we can do this, but with that sense of community and connectedness, and to be able to just say, you know, we've got this and we've got each other. And I think, you know, I've always known that to be true about Skeggs community,
yeah.
And the teachers here, you know, they are incredibly skilled professionals and they will do everything for the girls here. But to see that in, you know, the time that we're all living in, where everyone's fatigued and everyone's tired and everyone's living their own story, and to see them going above and beyond every single day, I think is truly wonderful.
Mm, that's right, making the effort to move through it,
yeah.
In some way.
Yeah.
You probably would have, and I know you've mentioned, or we've spoken about this in a few different meetings that we've both been involved in. You know there's people out there, and who are, you know, doing their best. Kids who are trying to do school as normal, staff who are trying to teach. I'm sure it's the same in a whole range of areas throughout our society. Mm. But you also know stories of people who are, amongst all their perseverance, there is a struggle as well.
Yeah.
There's difficulty as well. What are some areas or what are some situations, without naming people or, you know, being too specific, but, you know, we've talked about people who live alone.
Yeah.
And just what that might be like. And you read about it in the media as well.
Yeah.
And you've mentioned to me other people who you've
who've
heard of in other situations. Can you tell us more about that?
Oh, look, Ari, I think there are so many different stories, and I think, you know, that's the thing about, you know, the time that we're living through at the moment, as I mentioned before. I think the narratives around this time are so varied, and I think that's the complexity of the time that we're living in. I think, you know, one of the really difficult things, you know, that people are experiencing at the moment is the challenge between being a working parent and having to juggle the demands of that with you know, students or girls or children that are learning from home. You know, some parents are trying to keep businesses afloat, you know, that are laying off staff left, right and centre, or are essential workers themselves, you know, or are just, you know, struggling with the demands of working from home themselves too, and are trying to, you know, educate their own children from home as well, and I think that's really difficult. I know of people that are having to get up really early in the morning and, you know, do their own work before their kids get up at the start of the day, and are working late on into the evening too. You know, as you mentioned, I think, you know, that there are people that are living alone, and that's very isolating too. And then, of course, there are people that, you know, that have got the majority of their family members that perhaps live overseas as well, and haven't had any kind of connection with their immediate family for a significant period of time, you know, and whether that be, you know, the birth of grandchildren that they haven't been able to connect with, or I know of people, you know, that have lost loved ones too and haven't been able to get overseas to say goodbye to them too. And so, you know, I think that it's a really complicated and complex time, Gary, and, you know, everyone is living a different story and, you know, behind closed walls often. And, you know, I just hope that people have got, you know, support networks and systems around them, and they've got connections and people that they can talk to and reach out to if they're feeling isolated or if they, you know, are feeling alone, because, you know, we know that that support system is essential, you know, during times like this, that to get people through, you know, these tricky times.
And home, I know your initial home is in Australia.
Yeah, that's right.
When did you come to Australia?
16 years ago.
16 years ago,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
With your husband?
Yeah, we came together. So we've been, my husband and I, we've been together for almost 30 years, 30 years next year.
Wow.
Yep.
Well
and
done.
Yeah, we came together 16 years ago. We initially came to Australia in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
I came backpacking after we'd finished university,
right,
and fell in love with the country, and then went back to the UK and, you know, did all the things you're supposed to do and kind of all the rites of passage, bought a house and did this and that, and we just couldn't shake Sydney out of our system. It was actually, I don't know if you remember the TV show Aerobics Oz Style.
Yes. Were you on that?
No, I was never on it. But we used to watch it in the morning, and we were watching it one day, and we just said to each other, should we go back to Sydney? And we were like, yes, let's do it. So we applied, at the time, skilled migration, on the skilled migration list, teaching was on there, and so we applied, and we didn't know a soul, we didn't know a single person in Australia, we didn't have anywhere to live, we didn't have a job, and we did it, we made the move, just the two of us, and we came 16 years ago, and haven't looked back.
Good on you. So you would know... You definitely know what that's like, you know, even beyond the pandemic, to be removed from home, from family, to the familiar. What was some, if you don't mind talking about it, what were some situations where that really sort of dug in for you?
Yeah.
And thought, you know, what am I doing here? Or I really wish I could be at home, but other things might have got in the way.
Yeah. I think you always know the vastness of distance. You know, when you make that decision that you're going to move here, you know, you only have to have travelled between here and the UK once to know how long it takes, and to have sat on a plane for 24 hours to know that it's a long way away. And, you know, that's part of the decision that you make when you choose to move over here. And it's funny because only after having my own child do I really realise the magnitude of that decision, you know, and I think back and I reflect on that decision now as a mother, and I don't know whether or not now I'm a mum, if I would have since made that decision.
Right.
You know, I think back to the impact that decision would have had on my mum and dad, like, you know, having left, and how heartbreaking that must have been.
Yeah, right.
And whether or not I would have made that decision now, I don't know.
Was it also the support that was known there? Like, if you'd come with a child, as you said, you or Rob didn't know anybody here.
Yeah.
Having a child, you know, and not having grandparents around, that sort of support meant something
possibly,
to you?
Possibly, but I just think about, you know, now, if Belle were to move away to the UK, and she always tells me, you know, I'm going to move to England when I'm older, Mum, and I just think, oh gosh, that will break my heart. And I'm sure that would, you know, it would be a lovely thing if she did, and of course I would support that decision, but I just know now as a mum how heartbreaking that would have been for my parents, for me to move to the other side of the world. So, you know, you always know how far away it's going to be, but I think only in times of crisis do you really understand, you know, the magnitude of that distance. And so, you know, I had a couple of times in my life where, you know, my parents became very unwell, and, you know, unfortunately I lost both of my parents very suddenly, and there is nothing worse, quite honestly, than being on that plane for 24 hours knowing that you've got to go back to a level of significant tragedy. And, you know, and that's really hard, and it's then really hard then making that decision as to whether or not you're then going to leave your family then back in the UK and then travel back to your life here, or whether or not, you know, you're going to stay there, you know, and support them during a time of grief and tragedy, you know, or whatever that might be. And then, you know, when we had when Rob and I decided to have a family too. You know, that's a really difficult thing to do when you don't have a family network or support system. As well as, and my husband, he's an only child,
right.
And now we only have one child as well, and that was always a tricky thing, you know, being on the other side of the world, and you know, knowing that for his parents, you know, they didn't necessarily get to have, you know, that connection on an ongoing basis with our daughter. But luckily they were well and still are well, and so we were able to maintain that level of connection. I think up until recently we only ever went for a maximum of 6 months without seeing them, whether or not we would go to the UK or they would come here, or we would meet halfway, which was really lovely. But you know, unfortunately in the last 18 months that hasn't been able to happen, and that's been huge.
You noticed that a lot.
Yeah, it's been huge for us as a family. And you know, I think it's the not knowing too when we'll be able to reconnect.
Yeah.
You know, the length of time that we haven't been able to see one another is hard, but I think the not knowing is even harder too. I think if there were a point that we would be able to work towards, you know, if we had our plane tickets booked, or we were able to say, oh, we'll see you at Christmas, or what have you, I think that would relieve some of the level of sadness around it. You know, they're not getting any younger.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not easy.
So that would have, like in the current situation, I'm guessing that would have for a lot of people the same sort of impact, where you'd think, I know I've got family overseas, but you know, Christmas I go over, or and so that becomes part of your life plan that fits in in something like this. And we've had staff here who've lost people due to the pandemic in Brazil, in other countries as well. Totally devastated. Some of them, two members of close family, you know, not being able to go to the funeral, not being able to, and their plan was, you know, I'll just, at the end of the year, I'll go and see them. They'll be, you know, they'll still be alive.
Yeah.
And so it does change the way you see your life in a way, doesn't it?
It does, definitely. And you know, as I said before, it makes that distance even greater. And you know, but I think one of the tricky things at the time now is that you could almost, it doesn't really matter whether or not your family is on the other side of the world or if they're in another state at the moment, because you can almost not even guarantee that if your family live in Queensland, you're going to be able to have that guarantee that you're going to be able to see them at Christmas, you know, or in the next holidays or what have you. There's that level of uncertainty around everything at the moment, Gary, which I think people are finding so difficult to live with at the moment. You know, life has never really been like that before.
Yeah.
And I think as humans, we really love certainty. Yeah, you know, it's something that, you know, we thrive on. We really like the fact that we're going to be able to guarantee that, you know, in the next holidays we can do this, or you know, we'll work towards this, or you know, we'll save for this. And that's something which, you know, keeps us going, and for us to not have that level of certainty throws people. And I think that's one of the things that is leading to a certain level of discomfort in a lot of people society-wide.
We've been talking about that in chapel in the last couple of weeks, just about the storms and how storms are so unpredictable, and you don't know what damage they're going to make when they're severe storms and so on. But and we're finding ourselves in a storm, being caught in those things. It's interesting, at the beginning we're talking about how one of the things you like about Skeggs is the connections that you make with people. And when you're talking about family, it sounded to me quite obvious that, you know, the connection with family, and sometimes it's hard to describe, you know, some people talk about their families that they're very close, and or they might have a certain member that they're very close to, they long to see. Then other families, even though that might not be as close, there's still this almost metaphysical connection that we have. And we were talking about Belle saying, wanting to go back to the UK. Did you have questions about because you were raised in the UK, and you had experience of that. Do you have questions about thinking maybe it would be better for her to be raised there?
Yeah, I think there's not a day that goes by, Gary, where I don't think and wonder whether or not we've made that right decision. You know, even the other night, Rob and I were watching a TV show. It was Grand Designs on ABC, and, you know, they were in the UK and they were building this beautiful house in the rural countryside in the UK, and we, you know, got on to talking about, you know, raising children and, you know, where the best place to do that was, and, you know, a philosophical question about, you know, what the right thing to do was. And, you know, and of course there are beautiful places in Australia where you can raise your children, and let's be honest, you know, the eastern suburbs of Sydney where we live now isn't a bad place to be raising your children, with gorgeous beaches and, you know, lots of wonderful outdoor places on your doorstep. But, you know, I think that there's not a day that goes by when I don't wonder, you know, am I doing the right thing? You know, living on the other side of the world from my family and my friends, is that the right thing to be doing? I don't know. I think it's one of those questions that I'll probably never know the answer to.
But it's interesting, that strong pull of home, isn't it?
It is.
Family and...
Yeah.
And longing for that.
Yeah. But I think one of the things that definitely makes life better in that regard is the technological access that we have now, and I think that is a truly wonderful thing. I think if we were living 20 years ago, life would be really different.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the most beautiful inventions ever has to be FaceTime, and the ability to connect that has brought to me and my family is just wonderful. Like, Belle plays hide and seek with her grandparents on FaceTime, which is just honestly the most beautiful thing to see. Every night, Gary, she hops into bed and she FaceTimes her grandma, and she has the iPad next to her in bed and she reads to her grandma.
Oh,
you know,
lovely.
And it's, you know, those types of things that I think, you know, 20 years ago just would never have happened. And despite the disconnection that we've had over the past 18 months and the fact that we haven't been able to see them, and, you know, the loss that we're facing in that regard, there are lots of things that we have to be grateful for, you know, in regards to the connection that we have still been able to maintain. And, you know, technology is something that we have to be grateful for, you know, in that regard.
That's right. And it is very helpful. Someone sent me something yesterday, a picture of a Nokia phone from 10 years ago, saying, imagine if this was 10 years ago and all you had was your Nokia phone,
and we'd be sat playing Snake, and
that's right, and you'd run out of text messages, or
can you imagine how long it would take to send a text message when you were doing that?
That's right. So yeah, we are very fortunate.
Yeah.
But there is something about that you're right, the technology is good, but there's something about the presence, and I'm linking this back to what you're saying about home and family and the distance and not being present. You know, I know for the staff member who lost people recently to the coronavirus overseas, and not being able to be present at the funeral meant so much to him. It was so difficult for him.
Yeah.
So the presence of other people, the presence of those we know, the presence of, you know, just what's familiar makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. But I one of the things that I have spent a lot of time pondering, because we've had a bit of time to ponder over the last little while, is, you know, ultimately, will life return to normal after this? You know, I was talking to my sister, and she lives in the UK, and, you know, that the UK is obviously one of those countries that went through a period of time where they, you know, had lockdowns a little bit like the one that we're living through at the moment, that went for lengthy periods of time. And she really hasn't been in her workplace for, I would say, 18 months. You know, she's worked from home for 18 months. And the organisation that she works for have been going through the process of talking about whether or not they'll ever return to face-to-face work. And, you know, it's things like that, you know, make me wonder, long-term, what kind of impact would that have on us as society if we make decisions like that? around workplaces, what impact will that have on us as humans? And you know, that idea of presence, you know, if we're not being able to interact with people and we're not being in the presence of one another, and we're having that level of social isolation where, you know, she's lucky she lives with her partner, but it is only the two of them, they don't have children. And so for 18 months almost, the only person she saw was her partner. What does that have? Yeah. What impact does that have on us as a society, you know? And so I think, I do wonder, you know, what will happen in the long term, Gary? You know, and maybe we will just return to life as normal. I don't know. Yeah. But if we don't, and we go more down the path of, you know, working from home, or, you know, different decisions being made around, you know, further lockdowns or border closures and people not being able to travel, or, you know, things like that, what impact will that have on us as individuals and connections, and, you know, us as a human race? You know, I think that they're things, you know, that as people and as individuals and as humans, we thrive on connection, we thrive on being with people, and when we can't, you know, what does that do to us?
How does
our
it,
sense of self and being.
How do you think it affects education at school, the lack of presence? Like, we're doing this Zoom stuff at the moment, learning from home. What do you lose in that?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think, as we said before, I think the teachers here are doing a truly remarkable job, and they are working their socks off to keep, you know, the momentum going, and to be keeping the level of teaching and learning going. But there is a lot that can't be done via Zoom. And, you know, as a parent, I watch the level of social isolation that is happening for our little people. You know, my daughter's an only child, and I know that there are lots of only children out there, but I still even think, you know, for other children that are, you know, in family units that are large or in medium-sized family units, kids need social interaction. They need to play. They need to play with one another. And they need to be able to, even in a learning space, they need to be able to engage with others. They need to be able to, you know, have conversations. They need to be able to debate. They need to be able to discuss. And of course, a certain, you know, element of that can happen online. We can put them in breakout groups and that happy, but it's not the same.
Yeah, but they're trying to make it work too. I was about to teach a year three class the other day, and a couple of the kids came on early. And one of the girls, everyone was sort of unmuted, and one of the girls said to another girl, guess what? Mum said I could have a Zoom meeting with you this afternoon. You know, who would have thought that would be the case?
I know. I got home from work the other day on Friday afternoon, and it was so lovely to see, but it was just such a sign of the times that my daughter was having a Zoom play date with one of her friends, and they actually were playing. You know, for 2 hours, Gary, they played via Zoom, and they had the dolls, and, you know, and they were playing, but it was just a really strange thing to observe, you know, kids not in the same place, not even in the same suburb, and playing via a screen. It was really bizarre.
And as you said, technology's good. You know, and we're trying to make it up and fit it, but it's just not like, it's not like the real thing.
It's not. You know, and what happens if they have an argument? You know, do we just end meeting? You know, what happens then in terms
mute them.
Of... Yeah, exactly. I'll pop you on mute. Actually, my daughter did say the other day, she said, I think some of the teachers might wish that there was a mute button in real life. I said, yeah, I think they might. But, you know, I think that that's one of the things that... that I do worry about is that social isolation for the kids. You know, I think that we know that play and interaction and just being with others is so important.
Yeah, I just like what you were saying before, I was speaking to a member of staff who's a grandmother, and she said it's been really hard. She's been really worried because of the last lockdown, and how difficult it was for her not to see her kids and her grandkids. And so going into this, it's like, how long is this going to last before? Of course, she knew that she found it very hard to cope last time.
Yeah.
So yeah, just having those interactions. It means so much. Do you think we realise how much they meant before this?
I don't know. Yeah, I think probably not. And I think, you know, again, as I was saying before, I've been doing a bit of pondering and a bit of musing. And, you know, I hope that, you know, when life, and hopefully it will, returns back to normal after this, that there are certain lessons and certain things that we don't forget. Certain things that we don't take for granted, you know, about things that we realise that are really important to us as humans. You know, things, as we've said before, about the power of connection and how important, you know, people are to us in our lives. How important, you know, just taking life at a slower pace. You know, many people will say, no, that in lockdown and not being able to get outside and what have you is taking its toll at the moment. But I do think on the flip side of that, it has been lovely in many ways as well, just to kind of slow things down a little bit. We have become a little bit frantic, to be honest, and life has become a little bit overscheduled for many people. And so I think to be able to slow things down, particularly for kids that do live a very overscheduled life, has been a quite nice thing. You know, we have been treating the planet with a little bit more respect, you know, in some ways too. So I think, you know, I hope that when we come out of this, that, you know, that there are certain lessons that we can just take a step back and we can, you know, pause and take a breath and think, let's reflect on, you know, what is important to us in life and, you know, as family units and as individuals, you know, and as people, and to think about, you know, how we come together.
And just with that idea, and just to finish off, let's say we do come out of lockdown sometime.
Hopefully. Before Christmas.
Before Christmas. And you said you've been doing a lot of pondering and thinking about things. At this point, and you don't have to commit to anything, of course. How do you think you might lead the primary school differently from this experience, from the last 2 years? To say to then say what you might have imagined before the first outbreak last year.
I mean, I spoke at Beach Night last year about one of the things that I think that I had learned coming or leading through last year, and I think that that will be something that I will continue to have at the forefront of, you know, everything that I do moving forward this year, and that is the idea of connection and community. And I think that that will not change this year. And I think that, you know, thinking holistically in society, you know, but also here at school, that is one thing that we need to be coming together, as a group of people. We need to realise that we are in this together, you know, whether that be, you know, in a lockdown sense, we need to be coming together to make it work. But certainly as a school, we need to be thinking about what we can do to support one another to get through this. And, you know, I talk to the girls, and I know Jenny talks to the girls often about how we're in this together. And I think more than ever, that sense of being a community, even though we can't be together, you know, during the last few weeks and during last year, is so very important, you know. And so for me, over the past few weeks, and for the rest of the staff too, we've been constantly thinking about ways in which we can bring the girls together to continue to develop that sense of community and connection, you know, despite that we're not in one another's presence, because we don't want the girls to feel isolated. We don't want them to feel, you know, on their own. We want them to feel supported, and we want them to feel as if we've got one another's back, and that, you know, we continue to develop those relationships that are so very important, you know, to us here at Skeggs in everything that we do. So I don't think I'll change that. I think that that will continue, you know, that idea that connection and community is just so very important to everything that we do.
Well, good on you. Well, thanks very much, Helen. It's been lovely to talk to you.
Thanks, Gary.
And hear what you're thinking.
Thanks, with our masks on. It's very strange.
That's right. And yeah, I hope you can keep those connections. And just, do you have many people? It's your sister you mentioned overseas, and Rob's parents.
Yeah, everyone.
A lot of people overseas still that you keep
all of our family, all of our friends. Right. I mean, we don't have any family here in Australia, and so I mean, obviously we have friends here, but
it's a different thing, isn't it?
It's a different thing, and so as soon as the borders open, and it's physically possible for us to be able to get over there. We'll be there.
Looking
for
your passport.
We'll be there. Yeah.
Good on you.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you. And thanks, everyone, again, for listening. If you've got any comments or questions, you can send them to me or send them to Helen, or you can call me, or whatever, however you like to do it. And as I said, we're doing a series in lockdown, and if you'd like to share some of your views, maybe even do a podcast, that'd be fantastic. I hope you're all well. I hope you're coping with whatever situation you're in. Please call out. We are a community, as Helen said, and we're more than just a school, and we do want to be there for each other. So please call out if there's anything at all that you need to talk about, to discuss, or just need some help with. Or even you might know someone who needs some help in this time. We'd love to hear from you. Take care, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.